Welcome back to the R-Rated Podcast. The R-Rated Podcast. This week's guest is...
Welcome back to the R-Rated Podcast. Today's new guest is Caleb St. Julian, and we met on the Fatal Attraction set. He was doing craft services. So anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's when you manage all the food on set, the snacks, the hot snacks, the main, like, part of the main meal. Like, you have to keep the crew happy, because if they're not happy and fed, you're not going to have a great shoot. Let's just say that. And I can sit here and say Caleb provided the freaking snacks. Like, they were delicious. Whenever we didn't want to be there, we would just go to craft services, see Caleb. He would give us good energy and hand us all the snacks in the world. But before we, you know, dig into that, I want to ask you where you're from. And if you're not from here, what brought you out here?
So I was born in Long Beach, but
cool.
Grew up between Long Beach and Pasadena.
Nice. So yeah. Okay. So kind of local. We like that. I feel like that's not that common. So
really?
Yeah. A lot of people are like, I moved here from another state, another country. Like,
especially in the industry. Yes.
Yeah. You're from around the area.
Yeah.
Did you always know you wanted to do something in the entertainment industry, or was it like, did it just come to be one day?
I was always affiliated with the industry, because mom was in the industry since I was like,
no way, eight. What did she do?
Yeah, craft
service. Craft service.
Jay worked with my mom before he worked with me, so it was kind of like a double flashback. But
That's awesome.
Yeah,
so you saw her like when you were little, like she was always working like sets and doing the crafts. Mm-hmm. And then what about your dad? Was he also in the industry as well?
My stepdad worked crafty. He started in crafty with my mom.
Yeah,
and then he moved on and transitioned to transportation.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Transpo. Huge.
You know?
Love that. Okay. Yeah. So did you always kind of like, did you maybe help her out with like snacks or like making, you know, crafts and service like growing up? Or did it come like later on where you're like, you know what? I kind of want to try it out too.
Yeah. So my mom, when she first got into the industry, she was like single mom type vibes, you know?
Yeah.
She was dating my stepdad, but they weren't like, you know, locked in. So there wasn't any responsibility on his part. Mm-hmm. So with that, she would often like take me on set with her, and then I would kind of just be the kid in the trailer, like eating snacks and mom, like, can we put something on the TV? You know, like,
right.
So, I was really comfortable with the setting.
Right.
I didn't do so much like helping out per se, just because I was really young.
Right.
But then come maybe high school, she would give me little opportunities, throw
like
me a bone.
Tasks.
Yeah, like, here, like, you want to come and help us clean all the coolers? And we're wrapping out today, so we got to scrub everything. You want to come and I'll shoot you like $100 or something.
Right,
and
right.
I was like, yeah.
Cool.
So, that's kind of how I got started in it.
Yeah.
There was this lovely lady. Mm-hmm. Her name is Christine Kirby. She's now retired, but Jay actually worked with her as well. Yeah,
it's small world. I feel like Hollywood's actually pretty small once you're like kind of in it, or like starts. You're like, wait a minute, like, we know each other from that and that. Yeah, it's crazy.
And being crafty, you hear all the conversations because everyone goes to talk, you know?
Shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'll be ear hustling and I'll hear people are like, oh, like, you know, so and so, like, did you work on this production? They're like, yeah. It's like, oh my gosh, we worked this.
Literally,
you know, so that conversation is never ending. It's, you know, the story that's always told.
Right.
So.
Did you always work like larger studio sets with craft services, or did you also do like independent short films or like student? Like, did it?
You know, I don't think
did you work your way up, or was it just like?
I think it was kind of right into it, just because I had so many connections in crafty
in the
already,
industry,
you know, through mom. So I don't think that I've worked anything that was non-union.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
How different were like some of the other sets that you did craft services for from like Fatal? Like, is it always kind of like the same type of structure, as in like you have all these, you know, you have your trailer filled with like snacks or like some of them? I've been to some where it's like they lay it out on a table where it's like more visual.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, how do you guys like decide that? Like, how does that go?
It all depends on the key. It all depends on the key.
Okay.
The key basically sets the tone as to how the entire operation is run. So, the key on Fatal Attraction was Crystal.
Right.
I really like working with Crystal because she's very neat and organized. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she gets that it's like, it's a job. You feel right. me? So she tries to make it easy on us the best way she can. So that's why we worked out of the trailer so that we didn't have to do so much setup and breakdown.
And we're on locations a lot. Yes. So it would have been a lot of like, oh shit, gotta get this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even when we were on set, like I remember the first week we were working on Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
One of the higher ups came and was like, oh, like we're in this building over here, like on the second floor or the third floor.
Yeah.
Could you guys get a setup up there? And we were like, we're entirely set up.
Right.
I think on the first floor already.
I think I remember that.
Yeah. And they had us lug everything. And mind you, there's no elevator, nothing like that. Grips, they got their stuff up because they had these planks.
The elevator system was a fucking nightmare. Let's just be real. Yes. Like, because it's just, it was like one working elevator. Because, I mean, there was other elevators, but the one to put the equipment in and like
the freight elevator.
The heavy shit.
Yes.
You had to take the freight elevator, which is already creepy because it's like, when was the last inspection, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other ones, they were like, no, like only passenger, or like if you're going by yourself, or like, no.
Yes.
So that was always like fucking long line and took forever with every department though.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So you guys had to go up and how was that? Like, did you guys scramble?
It was a nightmare because it was, at that time we didn't have Jay. And for those of you guys that don't know, Jay is a big strapping man. Like he is strong. He can lift things.
Right.
And, I can lift my weight, but the people that we were working with at the time was Brian, who he's an older gentleman, skinnier,
heavy
smaller in stature,
you know. Yeah.
And then Natasha, who she can lift, but at the same time she's not going to be happy. About
it. So, you're going to be freaking breaking your back.
Exactly.
Like, let's be real.
And I just remember
we need a strong man.
yes. And I just remember we had to take all our carts up there. We had to take full of water, ice, and beverages, coolers.
Yeah.
And walk them up these stairs.
Right.
And at one point, one of them just entirely toppled over.
Oh, my God.
All over the stairs. And it was during, like, a transition, so everybody's coming down the stairs. And we're like, wait, we...
You're like, don't step on the sandwich.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It was so bad. As far as comparison.
Yes.
I've worked for a few other people. I don't really want to mention names.
Yeah, no.
But,
no
names. Yeah, I've worked with a few companies or keys that aren't as adamant about just
maybe like presentation or something
but like also cleanliness, you know, like
you know what, no one ever talks about that. I never thought about that until right now. I'm like, are they wearing gloves? Are they not wearing gloves? Are they sanitizing it down?
Hey,
like, are they using the same like knife to cut the same, you know, like
the veggie options
with the meat or something. Like, for me, it's not, I'm not a vegetarian, so like I wouldn't be like, oh my god, but like for someone who is, that would be terrible.
Exactly.
Right?
Or allergies
you know? Too, that's a big one.
And granted, we are trained in all of these things, you know, like there's
so
safety classes, there's courses.
Okay.
we have to know these things.
Yeah,
whether or not we practice them is a different story.
Right.
So I remember I worked with this one dude who he was like kind of like a tinkerer, like a handyman.
Yeah.
Like he just liked to like figure things out, and
okay,
that was cool. I respected that.
Yeah.
But I remember there was this one day where we're about to serve snack and he'd been tinkering with this like extension cord and like stripping it and like trying to reconfigure and whatnot, and also fixing the bike chain on his e-scooter and da-da-da.
And then he's like, and then I'm gonna cut the sandwich.
Exactly.
No,
exactly that.
No.
And like he's like serving coffees and stuff, and I can see the grime and grease on his fingers, and I was just like, oh, I'm making everything for my... Because he was one of those dudes like, hey, like, you want me to make you something?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
You want a chip?
And then he wondered why people only came to me. He was like, he's like, oh, I don't like her. Like, she doesn't want to... Yeah, I was like, I don't blame her.
No, but that's a huge thing. And you don't even think about it.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Okay. Because I'm wondering, like, I feel like we had I remember Crystal would always ask me for gloves, which I thought was always that was great.
Because
then you know, like, okay, like when they're touching stuff with their hand, they're using gloves, like they're thinking about like other people.
Yes.
Which is really nice. Because now that I know that it's not that common, I'm like, like how many things have I eaten?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Oh my
God. Yeah. Crystal was like the happy medium between like,
yeah,
like people that are overly anal about everything and then people that are like,
I don't give a shit. Right.
Laissez faire, you know, just. Because I've had another.
Yeah.
The first crew that I worked with, like actually on a show, long term.
Yeah, yeah.
there was this one lady. She wasn't the key, she was the second, but she was pretty wild. Like, just
like
to the standard that she wanted things. It was instead of just having entire boxes of chips underneath the table so that we can restock when we wanted to,
right,
she would say, grab five at a time from the trailer, make the basket, and then just switch out the basket every time. And it's like,
it's take forever. Yeah.
And it was one of those things where she wanted you to look busy so that it felt like we were working and earning our pay. It's like, I think we do that already. You know?
We're here all fucking day.
Day. Exactly.
Yeah. No, it shouldn't even be like that.
Yeah.
So when you want to get, like, for someone who wants to get into craft services, because I actually got, so I made a TikTok of, like, all the best, like, snacks and food that we ate on Fatal. And people were like, oh my God, that's so cool. And then I made another one, and they're like, this is a real job. Like, people can, like, get hired on film sets to, like, provide snacks and, like, make it look cute. And these moms were, like, commenting, like, I make snacks for my son all the time. Like, how do I apply? And, like, I was just like, oh, I could tell you how to, like kind of give you some insight on it. But for someone who's in that, like, situation that didn't even know this was, like a possible job, like, would you have to take, like, a health class first? Or, like, where would you even, like, start with that?
So, you would start by going to local 80s website.
Yeah.
And then signing up for an orientation.
Okay.
So, you sign up for an orientation, you go in. Mm-hmm. I think they're in person at this point.
Yeah.
Now that we're past that we're not COVID period.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you go in and then they kind of give you the rundown. Mm-hmm. I think the orientation is this local 80 branches from crafty to medics to grips, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So,
like, we got range.
Exactly. We got range. You pick your poison.
Yeah, literally.
But, yeah, so you go through that.
Okay.
And then after that, it's you get put on the permit list.
Oh, okay.
So there's a permit list. Basically, it's the list that falls after all of the union members.
Oh, okay.
So in order to get work, they have to be in permits, meaning there are no union members available to work.
Okay.
And they have work available. Mm. So then they start calling from that list. You have to get on what's called the get up and go list.
Okay.
Where
so it's like you're on, like you're kind of on call.
Oh, you're on call.
You're
yeah.
On, oh, you're on call.
Like you wake up 5 o'clock in the morning. And you may not work.
Right.
You know, like you wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, you call, and then you have to sit around
right.
for like the first few hours of your day and not get into anything because you might get called for work. Right. You know?
How long did it take for you to get that call?
Because I had my my connections, it was a little bit easier for me. But even then, it took me 3 years to actually get my days. You have to get 30 days in the union before you can become a union member.
Oh,
and then on top of that, there's dues and there's initiation fees. But can
it be,
fees.
Like, does it have to be 30 days on one shoe? Or it could be mixed and matched? Like,
it could be mixed and matched, but it has to be 30 days within a year span. That sounds easy, but it's a lot harder than you think.
No, I know. Yeah. And I mean, like in a time like this, like you, how would you get your time? Right,
exactly.
There's a strike. So
exactly.
It's like,
yeah. So it's
gotta make those 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a really weird gray area right now.
Wow. Okay. So after that, like after let's say you did your 30 days, then you can start applying to be on or like.
So then you'd call the union, let them know. Should be keeping track because you're supposed to report when you work.
Right.
And then they send you some documents that you have to complete.
Like
and
you're
then
onboarding, like you're part of the
exactly,
team now.
Exactly. The and then, like I said, the membership initiation, which is, I think, upwards of $5,000 at this point.
So you have to pay $5,000.
You have to pay to get into the union. Okay. Not all at once. It's not a lump sum. They give you somewhere between 6 months to a year to get that in, which if you're working consistently,
you get that money
easy
back.
Money. You know, like that's, you could pay for that in a matter of a month, you know?
Wow. Okay. So it's like an investment in yourself, but it's like you're for sure going to make that money back.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
More.
And that's when benefits and things like
right.
that.
Right. So benefits are included.
Benefits are included.
That's huge.
It's really huge.
Yeah.
Especially the movie industry benefits are some of the best that they offer, you know?
I'm like,
so
break my leg.
No, literally.
How long ago was like your first studio set like that you worked on? Like how many years ago, or has it been more of a more recent thing?
I think it was probably maybe my first studio set as crafty.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that was probably like two, two, three years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't, for some reason, remember what production that was on. Because I did...
You're like, I blocked it out of
my literally. Because I did catering before I did Crafty. So I was
Okay. So you have, like, food experience prior to... Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
But that's even worse than Crafty.
Really? The catering?
Yeah. Yeah. The length of the days, the...
Was it catering first set, or was it just catering in general?
Catering for set.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like,
okay,
Tell me about that.
Tell me about that.
I would wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to get ready and get to Burbank by 3. Mm-hmm. And then it was prep until 5 at HQ. Mm-hmm. And then we'd load up the van, and then I'd roll with this older gentleman.
Yeah.
And we'd get two set by, like, 5:30. And that, honestly, that was cool for me because I was just like an adult, you know,
right,
18
like,
type shit.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And, but then you hit a point where like, all right, like.
Yeah, I lasted 2 weeks. I lasted 2 weeks because it was just.
You're like, this is not for me.
Yeah. We get to set, and then like the day at set is cool. It's pretty like leisurely. And because I had experience in Crafty, I was familiar with like setup and stuff like that. And I was good at it, you know, but it was such a draining day because I'm up from 3 o'clock in the morning, and then they wrap around like 5, and then we go back to HQ, and I have to wash all the dishes that we use throughout the day because there wasn't enough running water on the truck.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Yeah, that's, and there's not like a designate, like, okay, you wash the pans, you cook, you
just me. Because I was the new guy. You feel me? Everybody else was like tenured, you know, there was like the head guy, there was the main cook that I worked with.
Right.
And then there was this other guy. But yeah, I was the only dude that was given the responsibility of
dishes. So you're like, we're out of here. We're doing craft services.
Yeah, they wanted me longer, but I was
no. So how did you get Fatal Attraction? How did that all come to be?
That was the happiest accident that I've ever stumbled upon.
We love happy accidents.
Yeah. I initially wasn't going to be able to get on the show because of like the COVID situation and whatnot.
Yeah.
But then I think two of our people caught COVID right before they were supposed to start up.
Yes.
So like it was like an emergency scramble.
Like,
Caleb, we need you. And I was like, wait, but I don't have. And there's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
and I was
like, okay. We need you now.
Exactly.
Yeah. I actually, oh my God, that was a stressful like first week for me. Like, honestly, I think I blocked all of that shit out. Like, I'm like, I'm going to remember the highlights, like the good days, not the days that people were like fighting me to wear a mask.
My
and, like,
yes. Like that. Oh my God.
But literally in pre-production, even we're like, please like wear a mask. And like, there were some people that just didn't care, and then it like spread, and they're like, oh, it can happen. I'm like,
it can happen to you.
Yeah. Okay, so you got called in, you're like, I'm here to save the day.
Yes.
And like, you've worked with one person from that team, Jay, right? But like, everybody else was like new.
Well, I worked with, so Crystal and Jay, they were both like under Christine Kirby, that person that I mentioned. So Christine, Jay, Crystal, my mom, and this other guy named Matt Latrell. Actually, sorry, that just reminded me.
Yeah.
That was one of the first productions that I worked on, Animal Kingdom.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
How was that?
That was actually pretty good. It was really nice.
Do you guys always have different, like, snack? And, like, who's... Okay, you said, that, like, the key person decides, that, like...
Yes.
But, like...
Oftentimes...
How does that work? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oftentimes, keys will order from the same sort of caterers. Mm-hmm. So, like, those Apple... peanut butter sandwiches that we use.
Right.
Famous apple peanut butter sandwiches. Those are pretty common amongst sets. I've been on at least 3 different that sets have that. So yeah, that's
Are there any like require, like, does the studio ever require like, okay, you have to have vegetables, you have to have fruits, or is it kind of like, here's our budget, this is your budget for like the production, and you figure out the snacks and everything?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
That's where the crafty part comes in, because you got to get crafty with it. Exactly. But yeah, so they will give you a budget, and then they
will... Is it weekly, or is it for the whole duration?
That I am not aware
of.
Okay. Like I said, keys and seconds typically
deal
with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they give you a budget, and then they kind of let you know the people on set that have like allergies or specifications, vegans and whatnot, you know? Right. And then there's always like the higher ups that have special requests, right, you know, like you have to have San Pellegrino.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the time.
Have to be you know, the fucking water.
Exactly. The Pamplemousse right. LaCroix, that has to be always in stock.
Always chilled.
Always chilled. Yes, yes. There was this one cold brew that we always had to have for first on Fatal Attraction.
That's so funny. Yeah, I'm like, I didn't even know all these like hidden snacks. Yeah. I do remember like certain people, like I don't know who, it was like someone was putting aside like some snacks and it was like for the main actor and it was like their specific little snacks. I was like, oh, interesting.
What they got over there?
I feel like not just any catering company could do it because it's not just like for 20 people. It's like a crew of like 150 people. Yeah. So it's like, is that easy to find? Like big.
So back in the day, Crafty would have to do their own shopping. So they would have to go to like Smart and Final. And I remember going to Smart and Final with my mom when I was younger and she ran up a check of like $1,000 easy of just snacks,
I
mean, you know?
Even when I go to the grocery store now, I'm like, I buy four items and it's like $100. I'm like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
I'm like, literally, how did this happen?
But now, especially with COVID and whatnot, to limit that amount of exposure to the outside world, we have companies like there's this one called Handy Mart that used to basically deliver all of the things that we need.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
So we never actually had to leave set unless we
like it was an emergency.
We were bombarded by a bunch of people and now we're like, out of ice or random stuff like that.
Yeah,
but that's kind of the process.
Okay, so there's
acquiring the goods.
Okay, and then since you like there's a list of like okay these people have allergies, these people don't. How like. Is it always like in rotation? Like okay, like this week or this day, we'll get like Mexican hot food.
Yeah,
and then because I know you guys always switched it up. Yes, like switched it. So I'm like, how do you guys determine that? Is it like who votes for that? Like how do you like who gets final say? Like
oftentimes it's kind of like figuring out what to eat with your significant other. Like, what do you want to eat tomorrow?
Right,
it's like
right.
I don't know. It's like, well, what do you feel like?
Right.
Like what Mexican? Do you want? Yeah. You know, like and then it's kind of a back and forth banter until we finally like, oh yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
And then
oh, okay.
Sometimes we ask other people, we're like, what would you what want would for you snack want? Tomorrow?
Yeah.
And they're like, pineapple.
Okay.
Like, okay. Yeah.
Random, but okay.
Exactly.
What are other like responsibilities that are part of craft service? Because I saw you guys at one point like pulling out like trash cans, like pulling out trash cans and like putting bags in it and like at the end like you know getting rid of like throwing away the trash and stuff and I was like, oh shit, like I didn't even know that you guys had to do that.
So
like I'm like, how many other things are there that you guys have to do?
One of the main responsibilities are the three C's.
Okay.
So cans as in trash,
yeah,
coffee and coolers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like
the
Bible,
three C's.
You know?
Okay.
And then aside from that, Crafty is kind of like the extra hands on deck. Mm-hmm. Anything and everything outside of other departments that may need to be done is our responsibility.
Wait,
so if
really?
There's dog, if there's dog shit on the floor, we got to pick it up.
No.
They'll be like, Crafty, can you come and pick? I remember I was on a show.
Why? You guys, are handling the food.
Yeah.
Like,
I have these questions myself.
I would not want to be like, okay, the Crafty's going to go pick up the shit and then make our sandwiches.
Yeah.
We're still on track though. I'd be like, no, you fucking find someone else. Like,
literally.
Like, you're not touching my sandwich.
Oh my gosh. I remember I was on this one show and I have no idea, no clue what the scene even entailed.
Yeah.
But I just remember we're in the trailer and we hear on the walkie, can we get Crafty for cleanup on set? And I walk up. And they're like, you probably need like a roll of paper towels and maybe some spray or something. I was like,
you're like, what?
Is that?
Somebody spilled their soup?
Into this room. And mind you, as I'm walking into this room, I see a woman in a robe and like lingerie underneath walk out. And then a man dressed as a baby, like literally in a diaper with a pacifier and like a bonnet on.
Oh.
And
was
they,
it like a
they,
sex fantasy?
Again,
thing
I have no idea.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
So they walk out, I walk in. And there's just bananas all over this set, like
just
smeared
the,
on the
oh,
wall.
On
like,
them.
Yeah, like they were throwing banana, like peeled bananas, you know, like, boom, boom, boom. And so I had to clean up all of this banana goop all over the place. I was just like, what did you guys do?
Did you get paid extra for that? Like, what the heck?
It's all part of the job. It's all part of the job.
Oh my God. Yeah, that is craft crazy. Service. Wow. There's like so many, I feel like, hidden things that I didn't know like comes with the job. Mm-hmm. And you also have to be one of the first ones on set because you have to, if there's no coffee, like people are going to be angry.
Cranky.
So how early, like, did you have to start your day and be on set by?
So our pre-call was an hour before
everybody else's crew call.
Yeah. So
Let's say it's at 8 a.m. You'd be there at 7.
Exactly.
And you're already setting up.
Exactly, yeah.
And coffee's already brewing and all that. Mm-hmm. Was there ever a situation on any of the sets that you worked on that maybe somebody forgot something or like there wasn't enough food or something? Like, what do you do in a panic situation when it's like, oh shit, we ran out of something?
What do I do or what do they do?
What, like, in a group setting, I guess, like what does the department do in that situation?
So me personally, I just keep calm and carry on. Like, I'm like, I mean, it's not here. So what am I going to do? Like, stressing's not going to change anything.
Slim Jims.
Exactly. Other people get a little, they
right.
I've seen people cry on set.
Oh, really?
Just from like just the like pressure of like, I didn't have what they wanted. I'm like, yo, baby, it's not that deep. It's not that deep. They can live without a Slim Jim for a day.
Right.
But yeah, there's definitely been times like that. There's been times where people expected one person to show up earlier to get something done, and then that person, for whatever reason, wasn't able to. So then when we come in, we have to scramble to get things done.
Yeah.
I remember a time where, even though our pre-call was an hour, nobody showed up until like 15 minutes before we were supposed to open. We were just,
But
we make it happen, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We get it done. I feel like, for the most part, there's a lot of tenured people in Crafty, so there's a routine, there's like a flow that you kind of catch, and then it gets done.
Yeah, I was going to say, because when you work with new people, like I'm sure everyone's flow is a little bit different. So, like, is there like a verbal communication, like, hey, let's just do the, like, I mean, you were saying earlier, like, the three C's are the most important.
Yes.
Like, is that like a common
That's
thing?
That's universal.
That's universal.
So if you have those down,
yeah,
chances are everybody's going to love your work ethic.
Okay.
You know, if you have that in mind and it's like set to where you're like,
right,
okay, I have nothing to do. How are the cans? How's
yeah.
the coffee? How,
yeah.
you know, like,
yeah.
how are the coolers?
Yeah.
That's pretty much anybody's going to be like, hey, he's a good worker.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? That's kind of the general.
And it was typically like, it's common to be like, what, a department of six or?
Ooh, no. They
four?
Give us, four is actually very generous.
Wait,
they usually
really?
Give us like three, maybe two.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's.
It's pretty crazy.
No wonder they were scrambling when that first week situation happened.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait, yeah, if two people were already
out.
It was
only three of us.
Then,
yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It was me, Natasha, and Brian.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And when the day ends, like, obviously you have to clean up your trailer and like all the food, like, but where does the food go? Like, or the snacks? You're like, do you really want to?
I don't even know if I can tell you.
Okay.
I honestly don't know if I can tell you. I might get in trouble.
No, okay. Don't tell me if you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
But you basically have to clean everything up, put it away,
yeah.
and then re-bring everything out again.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a time where we used to be able to donate to wherever.
Yeah.
A lot of the times, actually, on our set,
yeah.
Brian, he was a monk. So he would bring all
Wait,
of the...
Wait, really?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
He was
cool.
a very spiritual man. I actually really enjoyed the conversations I used to have with him. But he used to take all of the extra snacks and he would take it to the Montessori.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Because I feel like wasting so much... I mean, there's always so much food, like, especially when you guys order the hot food and it's like... I mean, I try to eat as much as, you know, I wanted to. I was like, free food.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, even then, it's like food still gets left behind. So if you could give it away or to the homeless or
exactly.
take it home or something.
That's what I was going to say. We used to give it to the homeless. But apparently there was a lawsuit at some point in which somebody that was given food that was homeless had, like, food poisoning or something from it.
Oh, shit.
And then sued the industry. And so now we are, like, kind
okay,
of prohibited from doing that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's maybe like the craziest thing you had to deal with? In the you're like, what is it crazy?
I don't even know where to start. I think the one that's freshest in my mind at the moment.
Give us something juicy.
There was a day that we were in. where were we? It was downtown LA. Like,
Yeah. Already downtown
LA. Downtown LA is the least favorite place for anybody to be in the industry.
Yes.
So I remember I'm loading up a cart because I have to take some snacks up to this hotel.
Yeah.
And as I'm like loading up this cart, I see this dude walking on the street, and he caught my eye because he was carrying a surfboard, but then there was a balloon attached to the back of it, and he was kind of just like, you know, shifty eyes, like,
yeah, kind of, yeah,
you know. And I was like,
this ain't regular.
I was like, he's not, I know he's gonna do something, but I'm not gonna stop him. You know. Yeah. So I see him walk up, and then he like looks at the cart, and he looks at me, and he looks at the cart, and then he just yeah, and then runs. And I was like,
you're like, it's a come
up. You feel me? Like, it's a come up. I can't even be mad again.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a lot of like strange inter. I had this one dude. Oh my god, I was working the tent.
Yeah,
on set. Yeah. Like, I mean, no, sorry, on studio.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And this dude walks up, and have you seen Fear and Loathing?
Fear, I don't think
with Johnny Depp. Fear and Loathing of Las Vegas.
I love Johnny Depp.
Okay,
I'm
gonna watch it. Basically, he looked exactly like Johnny Depp's character. Like, he was like balding. He had like this really rad comb over type thing, and then he had these like glasses, these orange tinted glasses, and like a touristy shirt.
Yeah,
he just walks up to me. He's like, "Hey, man," and I was like, "What's up, dude? What can I get for you?" He's like, "I don't know. Do you have anything crazy in there?" And I was like,
"What does that mean?"
Literally, I was like,
I need more? Like, what does that mean?
What's your definition of crazy?
Right.
And he was like,
sour straws?
I don't know, like, do you have an orange in there? And I was like,
that's hella crazy.
I was like, oh, you wild today. Yeah. Here you go.
And want a banana with that?
Exactly.
Crazy boy.
Wild man.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
Yeah, just little
like little tidbit, random shit where you're little just like, random did that shit. Just happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really question reality when you work in crafty.
Like, is this real?
Literally.
Okay, so there was, when we were on set, there was a lot of background actors.
Yes.
And some were a little bit more entitled to, I deserve this. I should eat. How does that all, like, how does that happen? How does that go?
Whatever,
you can share.
Yeah, I do my best to treat everyone equally on set. However, there are times where background will come on you way too strong, and you just like,
yeah,
you need to chill. You need to back up.
Yeah.
And just like, I feel like they, like you said, entitlement. Like, they feel like they're a lot bigger than they really are.
Right, so they can, like, talk down to you. You know, it's like, okay, I'm like still making the food here.
Literally. Like, I had this one lady that would come to Crafty.
Yeah.
And she would order, like, this elaborate tea. She's like, oh, can I have, like, can I have an Earl Grey tea? But I want you to steep the Earl Grey first and then let it sit for
like,
a little bit. And then take, literally, and then take the ice, and I want you to shake
and
them together.
Outside and do
literally, leave the tea bag in for 30 seconds, no longer, no less. And then I want you to blend it with, and I was like, girl.
You're like, yeah.
You're like, I was literally, I was like,
yeah.
Here you go.
You're like, 10 seconds.
That's it. And then she came back and she ordered that same drink like 5 times that day. And mind you, that holds up the line, you know? So at one point I was just like,
you guys were pretty fast with that though, with the line. Like, I've never felt like, oh shit, such a long line. Like, the most it would really be like, was like 5 people, I feel like, but that's.
Yeah. You know, our secondary skill in Crafty is like barista type vibes, you know?
I feel like you have to have, charisma and like a good personality too, because I feel like crew also feels that energy when someone's like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. When I first got in, there was this lady, and talking about charisma and energy.
Yeah.
She was loathed by the entire crew. Mm-hmm. And I can see the first thing she said to me, like when I was being introduced to the department, the key was like, oh yeah, like this is Caleb, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. And when it came time to introduce me to her, I was like, hey, nice to meet you. And I put out my hand, and she like looked at my hand, and she's like, can I see your hands? And I was like,
no, she said, can I see your hands?
Yeah. And I was like, and she's like, okay, you have calluses. I guess you'll do. Excuse me, Miss Ma'am.
What does that mean?
I'm like, I mean, it means that you're a hard worker, you're no stranger. But I was just like, that is such a weird thing. At first impression to ask for from somebody. Like, can I see your hands? Are you a hard worker based off your calluses? It's like, Damn, maybe I get pedicures. You don't know if I take care of myself.
What if I actually really take care of my literally hands? And what if that person got calluses from the gym and weightlifting and not even
literally
working?
Literally. But
that's where I get my calluses from. I'm like,
exactly. Get a little pump on and stuff. But yeah, so energy definitely matters, because she actually ended up getting let go from that show because of her poor attitude.
Because oh my God, a shit attitude, like, that will not get you far. And, like, even if you've, worked on a ton of stuff and you're known in the industry and, like, you've made cool shit, if you're an asshole, nobody's going to want to work with you. Like,
exactly.
Just bottom line. It's like, why would I want to work with someone that's an asshole when I can work with someone that's just as good, has done just as much, and is nice about it?
Exactly. Unless you're an actor, because they be getting away with it.
When it comes to actors, like, you said they had their special snacks and stuff. Like, is there anything extra that you're doing for them?
Sometimes the PAs are nice enough to help us out with that, especially because they're usually the ones that are sent on that errand.
Right.
So we'll just, like, get it prepared and hand it to them. Yeah. I do remember there were times where Crafty would have to go and, like, prepare things and deliver it and whatnot. As far as special treatment, like, in person, I've seen it happen, but I often don't know who's who on set. And I think I like it better that way. Yeah. You know, that's how I keep that authenticity with, like, treating everybody the same.
Right.
But, I've seen people go, like, above and beyond, like, see the actor walking up and they're like, I know what they want. And then they just, like, run and get it done. Like, literally. As they walk up, it's like, here, it's ready for you. You're welcome.
What if he was like, I actually want to try something different?
It's like, happened. Oh, okay. It's happened. It's definitely happened. Really? And then I'm just like, now you look like Boo Boo the Fool.
Right.
Just
now you look desperate.
Doing too much. Doing too much. Yeah.
That is... What would you say is the best part about the job?
Free food.
True.
Free
food. Did you find yourself snacking a lot?
Snacking too much.
Really?
Too much.
Because I feel like, I mean, you're like, I feel like there's always someone that wants a snack. So I feel like there's always something to do. But, like, you catch yourself snacking.
I mean,
there's
definitely, like, downtime. Honestly, I will admit, though, as much of a snacker as I am, I was more so the type of person that I pack a little bag at the end of the day and snack at home, you know? When I'm at work, I feel too obligated to move.
Okay.
Even if there's nothing to do, like, I just don't feel like snacking as much.
It also makes time go by faster if you're, like, moving around versus just sitting there, like, wait.
Exactly. But I have known a lot of people in Crafty.
No, I literally felt like I gained, like, freaking 5 pounds because of that show. Just because it was, like, second lunch, hot
literally,
snack.
Literally.
Six coffee of the day. I'm like, I don't eat this much when I'm at home. No. Like, this is crazy.
And it's free. So
and
it's even
free.
Yeah.
And then, like, I remember, it'd be like, okay, get breakfast from the catering. And then it was like, get a snack. Like, get your coffee, get a snack from Crafty. Then they'd be like, surprise, we want to surprise the crew, we got a fucking donut truck and coffee.
Cronuts.
Yeah,
shit.
So like, you get that, and then it's like, okay, like, lunch is in an hour, and then you have fucking fat catering lunch, and then you go back to craft service to get a snack later on, and then you get your second hot snack. You're just like, it's never ending.
It's
I'm like, do they want to make me fat?
It's so much. And oftentimes that last snack of the day, it was just so unnecessary.
Yeah.
And we would even ask them, we'd be like, so how are we looking projection wise? Yeah. Do we need a second snack? And they'd be like, we're going to go for a long time. And then literally the second snack arrives, they're like, all right, that's a wrap.
I know.
It's like, what?
I know.
Oh my goodness.
So second snack, like, even common, or it's just literally if they feel like we're gonna go overtime or we're gonna
it's common for long days.
Okay.
Yeah, it's common,
like,
for
what's considered like a 12-hour or over 12 hours?
I think it depends on how long ago lunch was. So if lunch was a certain amount of time, then a certain amount of time beforehand, then, you know?
Yeah.
But if it's going to be lunch and then we're only shooting for like 2-3 hours, then typically second snack's not necessary.
Right.
You know?
Okay. And do you guys work with catering at all? Like, do you guys, like, know the caterer? Or is it just kind of like, you stay there, I stay here?
We often have a relationship with caterers because they'll come and ask us for, like, cases of soda and stuff and help them out in that way. And then when we come, they're, like, extra nice and they'll give us, they'll hook us up with whatever. They're like, oh, yeah, like, I'll do something special for you, you know? The funny thing, though, is Crafty often stays away from catering.
Well, I was going to say, because I feel like I didn't really see you guys out there much. No, and I was like, maybe they're getting something better. Or I was like, or they're just, you know, have their own style and they're like tired of it. To be fair, though, this one wasn't that great. I don't want to be a hater. But
catering as an entire general umbrella, mm-hmm. It has a bad reputation.
Really?
Especially with people that have been in the industry for a long time. Like, not only is it like you'll see the same things on repeat, it's like fish, pork, chicken, fish, pork,
I think
chicken,
that's what,
fish, pork,
what
chicken,
it was,
you know?
For me. It was like, I don't want to sound like spoiled, but like, it was the same thing. But like when you're working on a shoot for like freaking six, like it was like with pre-production, it was like a 6 month thing. But anyway, yeah, like shooting was 4 months. And like you're there for like all day and then you're eating like really oily, heavy food or fried food. And like you start to feel so tired and something. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's kind of why I drank so much coffee too, because I was eating such heavy food from catering mm-hmm. and like oily. Like I remember one time I felt sick from like just like the oiliness. And then one time my salmon was undercooked and I was like, oh shit, like this is not good. But you know.
And that's the horror story that keeps people away from catering. Like literally you have the first time you have food poisoning, never again.
Right.
And you're that like, was me.
Really?
Like, yeah. Literally like a year ago, I remember I was working on set and I should listen to my intuition, because I remember I'm ordering it, and at the time I was more pescatarian, so I was like staying away from like red meat, pork, and chicken. And so I look at the menu and they're like whitefish, and I was like, what's whitefish? Like, is that a specific fish, or is that just the color of the meat? Like, what is whitefish? And so I was like, I get the whitefish, I guess. And I get it. And I'm eating this fish. And I remember I took the first bite and I was like, this fish is fishy. Like it, but not in a good way.
No,
you know,
no,
like
no,
it's
yeah,
fishy.
If it tastes fishy, something's bad. It's
exactly.
going bad.
But I ate it anyways for some reason. I told myself that I was hungry.
Yeah.
And I remember like I'm working in the tent. I'm making coffees and teas and whatnot. And then like I start sweating. Like I'm like perspirating, and it's nighttime, you feel me? So I'm like
so it hits kind of instantly, or like
no, it was a few hours afterwards.
Okay, so it takes kind of a few hours.
It takes
a few hours. I've never actually gotten food poisoning. I've just felt like gross and like shit,
no,
but like
really, I was sitting there and like my breathing started feeling weird, and I was like
okay.
Shit. And then I hit up the key and I was like, hey,
hey, anybody else
can you just hold down the fort for a second? Like I'm feeling really strange. And then I walk to this alley and I'm like laying there and I'm like drinking water. Nauseous as hell. And then it finally came up and it continued to come up for the rest of the night. I actually went.
You had to go home.
I went home that night and I remember my lady came over and she brought like some Pedialyte and shit for me. And she saw me in the most vulnerable state, just like ass naked on the toilet with a.
No, when you're like throwing up, it's like literally the most. You're just like.
It's so bad.
Like it's just like.
But it wasn't just one way. It was a two-way street. You feel me? So I was like,
oh my God, I didn't even think about
that. I had the bucket on the toilet. Yeah, it was bad.
Oh,
it was bad.
Shit. Yes. Okay.
Really
yeah. So once that happens, you're like, I'm done with catering.
Yeah.
So,
no catering. I don't need it.
Yeah.
We have first, second snack.
Yeah.
Like,
literally.
And actually, we have plenty of snacks.
We didn't even really need catering because of all the food that you guys alone provided. Like
exactly.
That was like, and especially because you get hot food too. It's not just like, oh, like like a sandwich or whatever. Like you guys had like Mexican food. You guys had like. All kinds of shit. It was like, it was cool. I was like, oh, they have like a big like variety of stuff, because that's not always that common. I was working this like one shoot and like it was very, very, very healthy, which I get the time, but it was like a little bit of like fresh fruit and then like one little piece of chocolate. Like it was in like these little like glass jars. It almost felt like
this was in the height of COVID though, right?
Yes, yeah. But
that
I was
makes
like,
sense.
I was like, oh, okay. And then
individual portions.
Yes, but it was like so like scarce.
yes. I remember that.
Yeah.
When I first got in after COVID, it was like, I was like, oh,
this is it?
This is all we got? Because we used to load that, you know, we used to have tables, self-service, everything.
Yeah.
Crafty used to be such an easy job, and that's why I got into it initially.
And now you're like,
you know what I mean?
Because
like, you would hustle in the beginning, you'd hustle at the end, but everything in between was just like, people would disappear into their cars, take a nap, they'd go into the trailer, they'd have Xbox in the trailer playing all day.
But now
you know?
It's not like that.
It's not that. It's not that at all.
Wow.
Yeah. I felt gypped. I was like, damn it.
You're like, why is this hard?
Why was I born when I was, you know? Could have been in this shit and gotten out. But, yeah.
So after Fatal Attraction, what happened? Like, where did you go? What did you end up doing?
So the reason that I worked Fatal Attraction was because I was building funds so that I could buy a bus and convert it into a tiny
home. I remember you were talking about it on set.
Yes, like, I was very excited about that.
I was like, oh, that's sick.
It was a very fulfilling experience. Yeah. So
why was that like your goal, your dream? Like what sparked that in you?
So I moved out on my own for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what year it was, but right before COVID hit.
Yeah.
Right? Or actually, I think it was right around when COVID hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right after
the
lockdown and whatnot. And I kind of did the math and I was just like, $18,000
mm-hmm.
I will never see again. And I will never see any like,
right.
You know, like it's just money down the drain because I'm not living there anymore. Right. So there's nothing serving mm-hmm. me from that $18,000 anymore.
Right.
So it kind of dawned on me as like, I don't want to get stuck in that like renter's cycle of just throwing money at a landlord. Yeah. I'd rather own something of mine.
Yeah. You're paying their mortgage off, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how the idea was sparked. My partner was talking about wanting to travel more and da da da. And I was like, well, okay, two birds, one stone. Like, we get a bus.
Yeah.
We could travel and have a whole a house of ourselves.
Right.
And not have to pay anything.
And go literally wherever we want to go.
Exactly.
Right.
So that was the aim. That was the goal. And it took us a little under a year to make that.
Yeah. It's and I know because I followed you on Instagram and stuff, and I was like, yeah, I saw you on the road and stuff, and then I had asked you to come on a little early, and you're like, I'm going to Arizona.
Oh my gosh, yeah, and that was.
Wait, okay, so after Fatal, how long? So it took you how long after Fatal? To get it going on the van life, or would you say van life is the right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I was actually working on van life during Fatal.
Right.
So we had already bought the bus, and we were like renovating it and whatnot. Yeah. And
what were you like, okay, we need this in there for sure, or like what are like essentials when you're
so
doing this?
For us, we wanted to be off grid. We wanted to be able to go to the most remote places and not have to rely on like electricity plugins and whatnot. So we had two solar panels on the top.
Cool.
And then we had an entire electrical system that was 120 volts, so we could plug in bigger appliances and whatnot, like laptops and things like that. We had a toilet that was on slides.
Oh, nice.
We didn't want to deal with like the entire plumbing system as far as like black water tank and having to flush all that out. Mm-hmm. So we had like this cute little camping toilet that was for liquids.
Okay.
And then I bought another separate camping toilet for solids with like a bag and just, you know.
Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Like, that and we had a shit shovel. So we'd have like, you know,
like, all right, here we go.
Dig a little hole and do business.
And what about shower? Like, is that like a thing to have?
So
like,
we had a freshwater tank, a 15-gallon freshwater tank that led to our sink.
Right.
But our sink was on a swivel, so it could swivel outside.
Oh, cool.
And then it was manually pumped, so one person had to be like, are you good?
Hey, but you gotta start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So we had that, and then we had our bed in the back of the bus.
Right.
But because it was a smaller bus, we wanted to maximize space, so I actually had the idea of like, merging a Murphy bed with like a cabinet type vibe.
Yeah.
So the bed like would sit on an L like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on hinges, it would slide down and then it would rest on the countertop.
Right.
And then, yeah.
Right.
So we had our bed, we had a day bed, we had storage, like shelving and stuff right behind the driver's seat. We had a garage in the back. That was only accessible from the back.
Cool.
Yeah. So it was really dope. I was actually very proud of our handiwork.
I was gonna say that's a lot of handiwork. Yeah. Like, was that your first time ever working on something like this or similar?
My mom's always been a tinkerer.
Okay,
you know.
Okay.
Right now, as we speak, we're working on like rebuilding, refurnishing the deck in the backyard, building gazebos for it and stuff like. So we're very like handy, you know.
Yeah. Which is always a great skill to have.
Exactly. So I was actually pretty comfortable with the entire build. Like, there wasn't too much that made me uncomfortable. If anything, it was electrical.
Okay.
Electrical, I wanted nothing to do with that. So my partner actually kind of took on the research aspect of that.
Okay.
And then we hired electrician. That was probably the most frustrating part about the build. Because the first electrician that we had come in was a friend of mine who said he was an electrician.
Oh.
But he wasn't as electrical as he let on.
Okay,
exactly,
okay,
exactly.
Okay. Oh,
and
no.
So he set up our whole system and then we went to power it on
it didn't
and
work.
Nothing worked. And so we were like, okay. So then we had another electrician come in, and then he basically told us that everything that that last electrician did was backwards. So then he had to redo it all.
Oh, no.
And then that was cool. But then there were some things that he never got around to. Electricians are frustrating people, man.
Yeah, damn. That sounds frustrating.
Yeah, we had to go through three electricians to get everything to what we needed it to be.
Okay, so by what month was it ready by? Like, how long? Like,
I think it was ready to go. Like, we went on our Virgin expedition. In November. November of last year.
And where was your first destination?
So my partner is also an artist.
Oh, cool.
And so she got invited by some of her friends to come to this festival and do a live painting.
Oh, that's
And
sick.
Somehow she talked them into letting me come too. So we were going to go in on this like mural, essentially. Yeah. And we were so excited about it. And we got everything dialed in. I remember going back and forth to mechanics. I was just like, hey, I need this dialed in. Like, how's the transmission? Right. How are the brakes? Mm-hmm. You know, like, can you give it an inspection? I need to be confident, you know? And they gave me the go ahead. They're like, you have nothing to worry about. You go and you have that trip. And I was like, okay. And so it was up in like San Luis Obispo area.
I'm very familiar with that area.
Specifically Santa Margarita. It was like this big ranch, and you have to drive on this dirt road for 5 miles to get to the actual venue. Mm-hmm. We got 4.5 miles in.
Oh, no.
And the transmission locked up.
No.
And we had no service. And this was the only road that you can go in and out of the ranch from. So we're like stuck in the middle of the road, this big bulky bus.
Yeah.
And people are like flying by us all day because that's the only way to get to the festival.
Right, right.
And we were stranded out there for 2 days.
Joking.
No. We were stranded out there for 2 days. I mean, granted, like, we were able to get to the festival. We had hitched rides with people coming in and whatnot. Yeah. And we tried to get AAA to come the first day, but they could not find us. Like, we called them three separate occasions. And the first two, they couldn't find us. Okay. It wasn't until the owner of the ranch kind of like took us under her wing. She's like, hey, how long have you guys been here? We're like, 2 days.
Oh my God.
And she's like, do you want to come to headquarters and call from my phone? And did it. So we did that. And it was actually a lot better than the festival itself, because me and my partner are very like nature type people. We like animals and whatnot. And so we got to go to this ranch. We made friends with all these cats and all
like you
these,
made the best of
we
it.
We made
like,
the best of it. Yeah.
Of course.
She started teaching us how to like tend to land. We were
cool. Like, you were like
plucking weeds from her garden. She gave us some peppers and zucchinis. It was great.
Okay.
And then
AAA came?
And then AAA came. They dropped us off.
Did they tow it out or
They towed it out.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. They oh my God. So I had a AAA premium membership, So it's supposed to be good for like 200 miles of towing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But because our bus is considered an RV, because it has a sink and a bed in it, it wasn't covered. So I had to pay out of pocket, and they charged not by the mile, but by the hour. And the time started from when they left dispatch. Not from when they got to you, but when they left. And we were 45 minutes from dispatch. So yeah, that was like a cool grand just to get it to the closest mechanic, which was in Tuscadero.
Okay.
And then we were stranded out there for about 2 days in a motel.
Yeah.
Made the most of it still.
Right,
but,
of course.
Yeah, it was sketchy. Like, really? We were at a Motel 6. I remember one night we heard like some screamings and yelling.
The
next morning we saw somebody getting arrested right outside our door. Like it was a lot. It was a lot.
Motel 6. We'll
do that
sometimes.
Motel 6. Yeah. No. Oh, and roaches. Roaches. Lots of roaches.
No.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh no.
But so that was our virgin expedition.
So since then, have you been able to
Then we've been on three other voyages.
Okay.
Two of them successful.
Okay.
Yes. The other one was a camping trip with some friends in Agua Caliente. That was great.
Nice.
That was fantastic.
Nice.
The second one was we went down to San Diego.
Cool.
And that was wonderful.
Yeah.
That was more of like a suburbia type vibe, like we were
totally
car camping in neighborhoods and whatnot.
Fun.
And then the last one was, as you said, Arizona.
You were like, my van life has come to an end. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, I was watching your experience. Yeah. And I was like, I was living through
it. I didn't even get to do the YouTube and
so
stuff
like
that.
So what freaking happened?
So, right before we leave to Arizona, again, me being paranoid, especially after being stranded once before, I'm like,
I mean, for good reason.
Exactly. I'm taking it to mechanics. Yeah. I'm like, hey, check it out. What's going on?
What's
like,
going on?
And so we noticed a minor leak of engine fluid underneath the carriage of the vehicle. So I took it to the mechanic and I was just like, hey, so what's up with this?
Yeah.
And he said it was a leak in the rear main seal of the engine, and apparently a very common thing in a lot of older cars.
Oh.
And he was like, and you can fix it, but if it's not going to leak there anymore, it's going to leak somewhere else. So honestly, like, it's not worth it.
Oh,
plus, you have to take off the entire transmission to get to that rear main seal. So it would be what he explained essentially was that it would be more trouble than it's worth. Right.
Right.
And he's like, you just like it'll drip, but it won't like deplete, you know, so it'll be good. I was like, all right. So we got an oil change the very next day, the day before we head out.
Yeah.
Or the day that we head out.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we drove to Arizona. We got to Arizona. All right. The first day was cool. We stopped by this like we were by the Colorado River.
Yeah.
And we were just camped out. We went into the river for a little bit, made some really good dinner, and then called it a night. And then our second drive was the next day, and that was when we were supposed to get to our first destination, which would have been the Grand Canyon.
Amazing.
Grand Canyon. And we're driving on the 40 eastbound, and like we get over this really big hill, and all of a sudden you just.
No.
I was like, oh fuck. So I don't know if I'm
It's our rated podcast, please.
We love it. But so I pull over to the side and steam coming up from the engine bay, and I'm just like sitting there, and I'm just like, not again. And we call AAA again.
Yeah.
Since the last time it broke down,
right.
I got the RV premium. For AAA.
Right.
Right.
You're like, we're not going to let this happen again.
We're not going to have this happen again. So I call AAA and I get through to the associate and we're talking and da-da. And they're like, so what's your vehicle? And I was like, oh, it's like a school bus converted. Da-da-da. And they're like, oh, we don't service conversions. And I was like, whoa, now pause.
Yeah.
Last time this happened, you guys said it was because it was an RV.
Yeah.
So I have RV insurance. They're like, yeah, but in the state of Arizona, we have different codes and da da da. I was like, oh, you made me so mad.
Like,
so, again, had to pay out of pocket
for
a tow. And this tow truck driver, bless his heart, he meant well, but he was not helping the situation.
Yeah.
He was just like, dude, he was like missing his front two teeth. And he's like talking to me. He's just like, yeah, man, if I know any better, I'd say it is the engine. And, if the engine's gone, then you're looking at like 5, 10, $100? No, 5, 10 grand.
Oh, shit.
And yeah, so we ended up again stranded. This time we were able to stay in our bus, which was nice.
Yeah.
Because the last time they wouldn't allow us to stay on the lot in the bus. But yeah, we stayed in the bus for 2 days in, where were we? I forgot the city, but it was like near Flagstaff, but like very in the middle of nowhere type vibes.
Right.
Stayed in the bus and kind of just
figured out. So did you guys get back?
We had to get a ride from somebody there to the airport where we got a Hertz
rental car. Yeah.
And then we drove it back, and then had to figure out transportation for the bus, which cost another $1,100. Yeah, $1,100. And yeah, so now she's sitting pretty in my partner's family's driveway, and that's where she'll be for now.
But you know, at least you went for what you want. You had a goal. You're like, I'm gonna make it happen, and you did. You said you worked, you got it together.
Yeah.
It maybe didn't last as long as you would have hoped, right?
No.
But at least you can say like, okay, when I set a goal for something, like, I can get it done and make it happen.
Yes, so, yes. And I'm glad it happened when it did.
This is just a bump in the road, literally. Yes, yes.
I would have much rather it happened where it did than me being halfway across the country and then having to figure that out, you know?
Right.
So now I feel like our focus is kind of pivoted from fixing the bus to buying land so that we can park the bus on.
Nice.
And then work on the bus.
You know, you're already working on the next thing. You're not letting it slow you down, hold you back. And like, because like that could be discouraging for some people. Some people would be like, okay, this, it broke down twice. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm, you know, or like it really like sets them back for the next adventure or whatever they want to do. So I'm glad that you're, you know, still positive, already thinking on the next thing. Like, that's great mindset and great way to do it.
Thank you. Yeah. It wasn't easy, but yeah,
no, I know. I'm like, I'm sure there was like some times where you're like, I want to cry, but
yes. Yeah.
You're like, yes.
More so my partner, like I had to be the rock.
You're like, I have to be the strong one.
She was like, our baby. And I was like, yeah.
I know, baby. When I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
But on a happy note, I want to talk about your art and like the painting that you do, because I saw on your Instagram you're very creative and you're always posting different art and like paintings from what it looks like. So how did you get into that, and where do you see yourself pursuing that, like full time or
so I've always kind of had like a knack for creativity growing up, especially because I wasn't a bad kid, but I was always grounded, you know what I mean? And my mom was a young mom, so she was learning and whatnot.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, so because I was always grounded, I always had to find ways other than being like on TV or playing video games to occupy myself. So that was like when I would hit peak creativity. And actually, as I'm saying this, I feel like I need to ground myself again as an adult. But
start painting.
literally. But yeah, so I always had that knack. And then I think high school, I had taken art classes here and there throughout my life. But high school was when I was like, I'm going to for real take an art class and just like, you know.
Yeah.
So I took art as my elective. And then the art teacher was like, you need to be in the advanced class. So I actually ended up having an art class, beginner art class and advanced class.
At the same time?
At the same time. Nice. Yeah, like same day I would go to one and then
like
I'd go to the other.
Drawing circles and then you're drawing like. Literally. Like splashing on the like canvas all like artsy.
exactly. Awesome. So that was kind of like when I first started getting into the mindset of like, I want to be an artist, you know? And then when I went to college, I took some courses there and I actually met my girlfriend at the time, ex now, whose grandfather was an artist.
Oh,
like,
cool.
Very big artist, especially in like the modern art community.
Right.
And so during the time that I was with her, we actually lived together on his like property in the back house.
Yeah.
So I was very exposed to like that lifestyle and like his mind, and we would have conversations and whatnot.
That's cool.
That really inspired me. So I kind of dove full force into the artistry. And
nice.
Yeah.
And what do you like to paint? Like, what's your go-to?
I would say I really enjoy kind of letting the canvas take the wheel in a sense. If I had to explain or describe my work, I would say maybe like a surrealist abstract.
Cool.
Yeah. But a lot of focus on facial features. Like, I like to deconstruct and reconstruct faces and
whatnot. That's cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I was gonna say, like, where did the inspiration come from that? Like,
you know, a lot of my inspiration, that's actually why I got this tattoo. A lot of people are like, what is that tattoo?
And I'm
like,
wait, what are
it's
your tattoos?
Nothing and everything at the same time, because when I would take showers, I used to have a lot longer hair.
Oh, really?
Lot, like, big. And when I would take showers, it would, like, get stuck on the shower wall.
Yes. And that happens to me. I'm like, how did the fuck did it end up there? And it's like, yes.
And you just, like, look at it, and I would stare at it, and I would get so much inspiration from the hair on the shower wall. Yeah. So
That's so funny you said that, because it's like, I feel like a lot of people with long hair like see that all the time in the shower, and you, like,
just like,
you don't think much of it. You're like, oh shit, my hair's on the wall. But you're like, I want to make this art. Like, this is inspiring.
Yeah.
I love
it. Yeah, I used to like throw it on there, and I was just like, okay, like throw a little water and see, all right, what that did to it, you know? Yeah.
That's awesome.
So very, very experimental processes. Like, cool. I often consider myself not only an artist, but kind of a scientist in the sense of like experimentation and like hypotheses. Like, okay, like this is how I feel like it'll play out, but how will it actually exactly? So
yeah, very cool. Yeah,
that's kind of the process.
So are you painting now, like during your, I mean, I know you were like on the road and stuff, but now that you're back, are you starting to paint again? Are you going to get into it?
Yeah, I'm definitely getting back into my creativity. I feel like a lot of my creative like energy was funneled into the bus during that time. Yeah. So this last year, I kind of was on a hiatus from creating in that sense.
Right.
But now that we're back, I have kind of reintroduced myself to the discipline of, okay, let's start drawing every day and like, let's practice playing guitar. And, you know, because I don't like to limit myself to one creative asset, you know.
Especially if you're good at more than one thing, like, why do you have to just do one thing?
Exactly.
Like, no, it shouldn't be like
that. And especially because I feel like a lot of art inspires art, you know, like people that are musicians are inspired by things that they see, you know, and people that are visual artists will listen to music to get in a creative zone. Right. So I was like, well, shit, like, I would like to, you know, play off of both sides of those courts.
Exactly.
And, you know, so that's kind of been my focus and mindset as of recently.
But, And you said, like, you're also affected by the strike just from like craft service. Like, you, like right now, that's also slow too, right?
Very
it's not
so.
Just like art, my department, everything, and all the other departments, it's your department too.
Yeah.
Even though, it's food and you would think like people want to eat, but if there's no freaking shows or movies, there's no one to
There's
serve.
No writing happening, so.
There's,
there's nothing to shoot.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So in this case, like, what do you do in the meantime to like stay busy or like stay working? Cause I feel like we're all in the same boat. So just to end the episode on a positive note, like, how can we stay active?
At the moment, I think I've been focusing more on my mental health and like getting my mind right.
Yeah.
So, I haven't been working as much. I've been on unemployment because I worked so much last
year.
Right. So, kind of just been taking advantage of that while I center myself and get more acquainted with what I really want.
Yeah.
And I, if anything, I see this time as an opportunity to focus more on the art and the, I hate to use the word, but monetizing of that, you know, capitalizing on it and making money off of it, you know?
Yeah, this is a great time to work on your art and your painting and stuff because I feel like even though like you probably had some time like during Fatal, it's just like you're tired from those long hours and those long days. Like, how creative are you really after a long day like that, you know?
Exactly.
And then when you have your weekends, it's like you still want to have a social life too. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do you balance everything?
I was building the
like,
bus on the weekends, so I was working around the clock.
So it's like when you're building the bus, you're not going to be painting because you're like, I have to put all my energy on here into this, and then I'm going to be working freaking 14-hour days.
Exactly.
So I think this is good. It's like a little blessing in disguise to like work on your creative paintings and like, you know, keep painting. Like, I feel like it just sounds so cool. I'm like, I want to see more. Like, I can just see you like splashing like, or splattering. I don't know the right term.
Either
like,
or.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, or body painting. You should do
something.
And you should like vlog it or like video, I think, or like time lapse it.
Yes.
I think that'd be really cool.
Yes. Actually, now that I think about it, the last time I painted with brushes was when we went to Agua Caliente and we did that camping trip.
Yeah,
one of my friends was nice enough to let us use her body and we all painted on her. And that was really fun. So
yeah, body painting has always been really interesting to me. Like, I remember I used to watch like America's Next Top Model and they'd bring like a body painter that make it look like they're wearing swimsuits and it would be like a nude shoot, but it looks like they're wearing bikinis because it's like body painted. I'm like, wow, like, it's so cool. Like, what an art, you know?
Yes. Body paint is pretty.
Well, I'm going to check back in with you later and be like, where are those paintings at? I want to see them.
You'll see them.
We'll see them.
Yeah.
And hopefully we get to work on another set again, in the future and get those delicious coffees and snacks that you
always I'll be on point with it.
Yeah. Do you want to throw out any social media or your art page or anything?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's just my name. Caleb, C-A-L-E-B, _ Saint, spelled out, S-A-I-N-T, and then the letter J.
Perfect. Give him a follow, and I will see you guys next week.